Because of he. Because of him. You know, it's important. I'm learning that it's important to, when you're saying things, how you say them kind of directs how you feel, how you perceive life, how you grow. And like, so that's why I changed it to that. But that's one of the realities that we have as God's creation, is we're powerful, y'all. Like, extremely strong, powerful, yet weak. That's kind of paradoxical, right? But we're powerful in the sense that God created us in his image. He created us to do the same things that he's done. And that when we speak, we can create. When we speak to someone's sickness in the name of Jesus, they can be healed. You don't even have to lay hands on them. You can just speak to them. That's what Jesus did. He said we would do greater works than him. So that should tell us how much he deems us worthy through Christ Jesus. What the enemy tries to do is to take that strength that we have and confuse us and trick us into using it against ourselves. Amen. Because the enemy don't have no power. He has no power but deception. That's his special ability. And he's not even good at that. Because Jesus, every time he tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus shut him down every time. He's already had the victory over the enemy in his lives. And then he took it even further by dying. Because it's kind of been a theme, I guess, this morning, is how I've been just, even through the music, through everything. Jesus conquered the last thing that the enemy had on us, he conquered that. Satan been taking L's from the beginning. And even more so now, because God has brought us with him. The first L. We were his first win. Satan took the first L. Wow. That's good. So life in the overcoming. I'm going to say this too. I didn't make a whole lot of scriptures, I didn't get a whole lot of scriptures. But it's beautiful because what I found. Less is more. Oh man, less is more. So, as I was saying, you know, we are powerful. We have the ability to come into a place and change the atmosphere of that place. We have the ability to, like I said, heal people. And this is all by his spirit. It's not us. But it's him in us. He's given us himself. So to the point that we can help somebody else. You know what I'm saying? We were just joking just 5 minutes ago. Somebody was like, "Medic!" So I don't know who said that. That was funny. But we have been gifted with that very thing. You know what I'm saying? We can come into somebody's situation and one word can release that person from a world of turmoil. One smile. I figured out this is kind of like one of my routines. I just smile at everybody that I see. At work, it's just random people. I don't know your name, but me acknowledging you, me looking to you, me saying, "What's up? How you doing?" You know what I'm saying? That can change the whole way your day is going. Because this happened to me before. I was having a bad day and somebody was just nice to me and kind of took the burden of that bad day off. Absolutely. So, I mean, that's one of the calls that we have, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the calls that we have in our lives, you know, is to experience love from God, but experience that love so to the point that it's spilling out on other people's lives. And that's the life of an overcomer. Because not only are you overcoming the things in your own life, you're overcoming and helping other people overcome. You know, a warrior, they don't just go into battle for themselves. You know, back in the ancient times, they didn't just go into battle for themselves. The warriors and the hunters went out to get the food for everybody else. They were sent to be a vessel for life for everybody else. A gift towards everybody else. So, so the first verse I'm going to talk on is Revelation 12:10 and 11. And I found the version is called the Weymouth New Testament. I love this because how it says it. It's good to read different versions, you know what I'm saying? Because it widens the spectrum from just one person's theology. You're getting multiple theologies and it's giving you a full understanding of the Bible. So, the Weymouth New Testament, it says this. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice speaking in heaven. It said, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God have now come in sovereignty of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren has been hurled down. He who day after day and night after night was wont to accuse them in the presence of God. But they, us, have gained the victory over him because of what? The blood of the Lamb." Say that with me. "Because of the blood of the Lamb and of the testimony which they have borne. And because they held their lives cheap," not saying that our lives are cheap, but you digress is basically what that's saying.
"Because they held their lives."
Yeah. "And did not shrink even from death." So when I was reading that verse, God was just showing me like, I mean, and it's a theme that we constantly preach here. That it's because of what he's done that you can call yourself an overcomer. It's because of his death, burial, and resurrection that you don't have to. Sometimes we get in that mindset. We make ourselves feel like, "Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy." That's the enemy trying to keep you in that place of bondage when you've been set free. It's like that story of the eagle and the chicken. The chicken story where the eagle egg fell down with the other chicken eggs and then he thought he was a chicken. But guess what? You're an eagle. You in heavenly places with him.
Thank you, Father.
And that's the reality. Like I said, we have to face it every day. You can't take a day off because, like I said, you digress when you do that. You fall back in that mindset of weakness, and then that's when the enemy tries to attack us at our weak points. But guess what? The Bible says that in your weakness, I am made strong. So it's like a cycle. Even when the enemy thinks he has us up against the ropes, he's still taking the L. We just gonna start calling Satan the L. But like I said, so as it says, they have gained the victory over him because of the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. So that's what we gonna kind of talk on those lines. Like I said, the blood of the Lamb, that's a given. But we're gonna venture into what that means. Because it's important. It's important that we understand these things. That's how you can, like I said, the word is what kind of validates the reality of this faith. It makes it real to you. It brings it to life to you. And it involves you in it. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying, you can just go through the motions. I've been in that place where, you know, it's like I'm going to church, but it don't really mean that much to me. But I understand why, and I'm thankful, Jesus, that you died for me, but I don't really know what's going on. So, like I said, the more that you take the time to really digest his love, like, you start at the point that he loves you. And you go and see, okay, how does he love me? What shows that he loves me? And like I said, you do that in the word. So we're going to start here at Hebrews 10. I know that's a lot of verses. 1 through 25, that's a lot. Yeah, not really, but it is. When you're trying to stay focused, yeah. Just bear with me. So I'm going to read this. And basically, like I said, this is breaking down what the old covenant was like and what the new covenant was like. This was Paul. Paul was talking to the Jews. This letter was addressed to the Jews. And basically, Paul was breaking down to them that the old way of how you were doing things before Christ died is done away with. Not saying that those ways aren't good and not holy. He wasn't saying that, but he was saying this ain't the formula. Doing this ain't the formula for what God wants to give to you. You can't earn what God has given to you by your works. So this is Paul kind of giving a dissertation to them of the importance of the blood of Jesus. Because that was the other thing. Paul and the apostles, they still called the Jews their brothers. They didn't separate themselves from them just because they knew who Christ was. They considered them part of them still. And the Jews, they're still God's chosen people. But the Jews didn't want to accept Gentiles. That was their big beef. They was like, y'all over there mixing with them right, them scoundrels, them heathens. That was because it wasn't holy. They were a separate people. They could coexist, but they can't be around us. They can't partake in our rituals. They can't partake in our sacrifices. You ain't a part of this, bro. Stay in your lane. This basically was their mentality. But see, that wasn't what God's plan was. And he showed them that by bringing us in by faith. He undermined their way of thinking, because they took the law and went crazy with it. You can't be a part of us if you don't chop your beard the right way. You can't be a part of us if you, it's a bunch of different stuff, but if you have a menstrual period, you can't be a part of us. Like, it was crazy. They went all the way to that point, bro. Okay, so Hebrews 10, so that's the context to it. So the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. So under the law, they got a lot of blessings from doing the right thing, basically. Their doing produced fruitful seasons, rains when they needed it, good crops. They could take off. It was one thing they like took off for a whole year because they had double of what they needed while the rest of the world was in famine. They had everything they needed. Like, God took care of his people like he does today. a damn preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under the system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. They gave sacrifices every year for their sins. Every action, died when they killed the lamb. They did the whole ritual where they bled the lamb, killed them, barbecued them, let the aroma get all out in there, and then they had to eat them. But it was a whole ritual, and only a priest could do it. If anybody else went in there, they died. That was just because the presence of God was just so heavy in this tabernacle or in this temple. So that was the sacrifice portion in a nutshell. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. That's the other part. They felt unguilty after they did this. Them killing the lamb was, like I said, representative of what was to come in Christ. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. So it's funny, like, the thing that I'm doing to get rid of my sins is actually reminding me that I'm tripping. And I'm still not extinct. I still carry this burden of I got to do something to get this off of me versus God, can you do something to get this thing off? This guilt and shame, this sin. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Well, but that's the reality. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, and this is Christ's words, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings. So Jesus knew. He knew why he was here. You know what I'm saying? He knew from the time, I think he grew in understanding, as the word says. He grew in knowledge and in stature and in wisdom. But from a child, he knew, I got to be about my Father's business. I'm here for a reason. He knew that he was born. I'm sure his parents told him how he was born. Like I said, he came in the world. He wasn't a baby that just knew everything. People got to give you that idea. Now, Jesus really was a kid. He played like a kid. I'm sure he played jokes on people and pooped on himself. And like, he did it all. I heard that joke too. Jesus was walking on the water when he was taking a bath. All right, so that is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me the body to offer. So that's Jesus' wisdom. That's wisdom. He understood that from reading the Old Testament. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have to come and do your will, O God, as it is written to me in the scriptures. First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. So they were doing these things according to the law, but God, that wasn't enough. It wasn't pleasing God. It was pleasing, but it wasn't what he wanted. It's like you want a chicken sandwich. So you settle for like Burger King's chicken sandwich, but Chick-fil-A is what you really want. But they not open on Sunday, so you gotta settle for like Burger King and like Jack in the Box chicken sandwich. Hey, this is a funny story. I know this is kind of sidebar, but one of my friends, he wrote on Facebook, he was like, man, I had a chicken sandwich from Jack in the Box. Why does mother taste like hash brown? Okay, I'm sorry. I guess they deep fried it, but they ain't changed their grease. Then he said, look, I have to come to do your will. This is Jesus. He canceled the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. See, Jesus understood I'm the new covenant. My body is the new covenant in your blood. My blood is the new covenant. I'm the answer to the sin issue so that these people can be free and so that this world can be saved. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. That's kind of like us worrying about stuff. You can worry about a situation all day long, but until an action is put forth, you can't change that situation. I've been messaging a lot of times. I'm like, dang, I gotta get this done. But until I went and paid my personal property tax, it wasn't gonna get done. I got more interest. So, but our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor of God's right hand. So look at this parallel. The efforts of a man, the priest, they were holy, they were appointed by God, but he couldn't rest. He was in the tabernacle, the temple, nonstop. His deeds never ended. And then it wasn't even really appeasing the thing. It was just prolonging it. Jesus, our high priest, he did it and then sat down. That should show us there that God knows the answer. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. Even when we think that we're doing something. Even when we think that we're overcoming a situation. Even when we think that our efforts are going forth and it's good, like I said, it's good to be present in a situation but not make the situation your end all be all. See, sometimes what the enemy likes to do is get us to idolize the problem and make the problem this huge thing. And that's what they were doing. They were idolizing sin and it wasn't going away. By their efforts, they were idolizing sin. They were trying to, I'm going to paint this sin over a little bit, make it look good with this blood of this animal. And it's just years and years of paint stacking up on it and they ain't removing the paint. Okay, so there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. Jesus is chilling. Jesus ain't running around with his head cut off thinking, hi, I'm going to get these people saved. No. That's us too. Because we hear the call for evangelism and we go, oh my gosh, I got to do. Listen to God. Hear where he wants you to be. Evangelism is your day-to-day life. Yes, you can go and do evangelism. That's important too, because it does take somebody to spur something up to get other people thinking on it, stirring up the pot. But still, it's not this crazy frenzy of I gotta do something to make something happen. It's I'm being led by, I'm overcoming with him. I'm overcoming this world and sin with him in his power. I can heal this person because I'm depending on his power, not my ability to heal anybody. Me of myself, I can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. If Jesus got to say that, we definitely got to say that. If Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing, whatever I do, I'm doing because the Father told me to do it. That should say something about the whole Godhead. God loves us. He's not condemning you. That's the enemy, the accuser of the brother. He wants you to feel like you're not an overcomer, that Jesus didn't really do what he said he was going to do, so that we can just walk aimlessly around trying to figure out what's next. But God has a plan. You've already overcome. He's already opened the doors that need to be opened. Like I said, all it requires for us is faith. Faith that he's really what he said he is. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing what? The gospel. Hearing that he really is significant. He really is that dude. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So let's differentiate that. You're not perfect. You're perfect, but you're not perfect. You've been made perfect in the sense of sin as a prison. You've been taken out of it. Sin does not have power over you. Beyond contrary belief, beyond what this world thinks, beyond what some of the church teaches, sin does not have power over us. We're being made holy, whole, mentally whole. You've already received this in your spirit. You've already received it. Say that with me. I've already received it. I've already received holiness. I've already received righteousness. And that's faith. That's how simple faith is. You're believing something that you can't even necessarily see all the way. But you believe it because he said it, not because of what you said. But you get to say what he said. And you get to believe what he said. And then you get to see the fruit of what he said. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, this is the new covenant. And he's talking about Jesus. I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their minds. We know right from wrong because the Holy Spirit brings us into those things to understand. It's not a thing of, I got to do this right because God gonna punish me, or I got to do this right so I won't be overwhelmed. No. You start from a place of righteousness. You start from a place of understanding, I'm righteous. I know the right thing. I know you. You're not gonna lead me into some mess, Lord, if I'm trusting you. A lot of times we get off that path because we think we know we can do it. We think, oh, I've been through this before, I can do this. And then we fail miserably, and then we run it back and go, oh God, Lord. You don't have to stay in that cycle. Reality of the situation, like we said, like he's saying, I will put my laws in their heart. He's already written the entire word in you. You are, Christ is a living word, and he's on the inside of you. And you are conjoined with him. So you are a living epistle is what Paul calls us. But still, this mind. You go on the word, you can go on the word and something will bear witness with you. Like, you really understand, like, man, that's, whew, that's because it's already inside of you. But you still have to rehearse that. You're still awakening to that. You're awakening to the revelations that God has already placed on the inside of you. He's given us every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Woo! Say that with me. God will never again. What does never again mean? Never. Ever, ever, ever. That's that Chris Rock. I mean, not Chris Rock. Chris Tucker. Never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. So why are we so enthralled by them? Why are we so debunked by all of the wrong that we've done? Why are we surprised that people are still messy when they haven't come to the knowledge of the same truth? But when you come to the knowledge of this truth, what it does is it sparks something in you. It causes you to say, wow, I know I messed up, but you don't remember none of my sins and you've forgiven me. And when that revelation really comes alive to you, like I said, like we always talk about, you just do stuff because you know it's pleasing to God. Not because, oh, I'm going to please God with this, with my giving to the poor and da 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 da. No. You do it because you have a desire to. It's His love working out of us. I say what's up to my boy because that's my dude. I don't say it because, man, I hope he says what's up to me. I know that's my cat. I'm like, hey, what's up, bro? You gonna hug each other, whatever. Same thing. You're not doing this to get God's approval because you're an overcomer. You've overcome that sin through His righteous deed of not remembering your sin anymore, through what Christ has done. See, there's a difference. And when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. We didn't bring a lamb here today to put on the altar and bleed it and throw it in the furnace back there. We didn't do that. We don't have to no more. But even further, we don't have to be conscious, and because that step has been taken away, like they were saying. They gave sacrifices and it reminded them of how messed up they were every year. Now that that's been done away with, you can let that go and focus on who you are now. You focus now on the fact, okay, I'm a righteous man. Okay. That awakens up another thought. What does that look like? You go to the Word to find out what that looks like. Oh, a righteous man doesn't kill people. Oh, okay. I won't go around killing people with my words. Jesus took it a step further. He said, you murdering somebody if you thought I'm stupid. But see, he did that to show you that you can't get it on your own. You can't get it from the law. You cannot do it. He's the answer to that. He's the answer to cause you to take it easy on somebody because they may be going on, something may be going on in their life and they do something wrong and you want to just lash out. His spirit in us. Because us, I get you in a minute. Maybe you're tripping. But God is the one that, come on son, pull back. And then I can minister love. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. We can boldly. Boldly is like Thanksgiving. You can boldly come. You know your mama cooked. She cooked for you. You ain't going to be timid about going in that house and getting you a plate. Nah, you're going to be like, hey, what's up, everybody? What's up, bro? What's up? And straight to the food. That's how we got to come to God, y'all. Because He's giving it to us. He's not telling you, you need to get to this. You got to earn this. No. You do grow. Like I said, there are times in our life for everything. So as you grow and mature, that's how you understand that this is the level that I'm getting to now. You ascend levels in a sense of understanding. But He's already given it to you. Like I said, you're not trying to work on getting it. You're working to grow. And it comes to you as you grow. Just like responsibilities come to us as we grow. When you move out your mama's house, you know you're going to get some bills, right? You know that right, bro? I'm just breaking it to you now because you're young. You move out your parents' house.
It
You got to pay for water. Man, you got to pay for gas. You do. You got to pay for electricity. No. But it's a reality. Like I said, as you mature, things come to you. But also, as you mature and get older,
your job comes to you too.
By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience, read, this is the most important verse here. Our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. You can go into the presence of God. You can commune with God. You can talk to God. You can vent to God. You can change a situation with God because he's made himself available to you. 28:8, not 24/7. Oh, that was a lot of days. 25:8. He created an extra day. Not 24/7, 25:8. You can go to God greater than what this world even has demands on. He wants you to. And he's made it so you could. So you don't have to. You don't have to depend on a priest to go to God and confess to you. You can talk to God on your own. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. That hope is the gospel. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Once again, it's not about what we're doing. It's him. We can trust God. We can have hope because we can trust that God is A1. He's shown us. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Like I said, and the good works now is not good works of I'm trying to get this thing going for God. No. Good works is now, God, you've made me free. How can I make somebody else free? How can I bring this love and joy and this peace that you've given me to somebody else's life? Because there's so many people that think God is out to get them. There's so many people. You will be surprised how many people think that if you say something, anything about God, then, oh man, you better not say that. Or somebody say something crazy, you better not say that around him. You're going to get struck down. Really, dude. I laugh at it now because it's funny. But it's like when understanding comes, you know that that's not God. That's something. That ain't God. That's a lie. And let us not neglect our meeting together. Once again, this is important too. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. We said, Jesus coming back. But the beauty in that is we won't be caught off guard. Because he's coming back, but we're with him. How does that work? Yeah, he's coming back, but we're going to be with him. We're not, that's what I'm saying. All of that other stuff had to come before they talk about him coming back. He's reaffirming that he's coming back for you. Because you are cleansed. You are holy. You are in him. You are a part of him. That it's not your efforts that did it, but it was him. And it's going to end with him. That's the bane of our existence. The joy of our existence. Peace. The thing that we can come to people with. Like, look, bro, I know you're going through some stuff, but God loves you. And it's not God putting you through that stuff. It's life. Everybody's, even after you receive Christ, you still go through things. But now you're going through things with Jesus. Whole different avenue. Because you have medicine for the situation. That's the best way I can describe it. He causes you to overcome that situation. And it's not a struggle hard thing. Because he's the source of peace in those valleys and in those messed up, scary situations. Why you think even people that don't even know Jesus call on his name when something crazy is going on? I didn't see it. I knew a dude that didn't care nothing about God. He used to tell me that all the time. And like he said he was in a car accident. And he screamed Jesus' name. And I almost fell out of my chair when he told me that, because it was funny. Like, dude, you was just talking bad about God the other day. And he used to tell me that. But I was like, but that's for real. You, in that situation, you knew who to call. But, once again, y'all, we overcomes. Say that with me. We're overcomes. I am an overcomer. And I've overcome this world because of what he's done. Now, we're going to do one more verse, and it's Romans 9. And basically, context-wise, this verse is, once again, Paul. And he was talking... He was actually, this was addressed to, of course, the Romans, but he was talking about the Jews. He was talking about how, even in the midst of all of this, God still called us. The Jews have it all. The Jews, like I said, all of this came, even the Savior came from the Jews, came from Israel. But, there's a big one. God doesn't base it off of those menial mortal things. He's basing it off of his promise. You're a part of Abraham. You're a part of Israel because of his promise, not because you were born in Israel. So, like I said, they still wanted to, some of the Jews that believed in Christ still wanted to separate the Gentiles from them. And he had to address that. And yes, God, and then he talks about, in this verse 2, he talks a lot about the sovereignty of God and how God can choose who he wants to, but he was making an argument for the Gentiles. See, people misconstrue this verse and talk about, he's talking about election and how God chooses people to go to hell and chooses people to go to heaven. This verse isn't even hinting towards that. He's talking about how he has included the rest of the world with that promise that Israel has. So he goes on and it makes it clear when I read this. So it's Romans 9:30. What does all this mean? Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. That great rock was Jesus. They couldn't really understand, like, how are all these people getting the same goodness from God, and we've toiled and worked and done everything that you said for us to do in this law? God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Anybody that trusts in Jesus gets pulled back to the truth of his love. I don't care how many times you stumble or fail, even this morning, to this last week, to the month before, to the years before. Anyone who trusts in him will not be disgraced. If disgrace comes, it's not because of him. But even in the midst of you making bad decisions, God still will vindicate you. That don't mean he's going to make bad decisions, because he wants to protect you from the consequences of your bad decisions. If you go shoot somebody, you're going to go to jail. You may get off if that's the mercy that God so chooses to give you, but you got to differentiate. You know, rightly dividing the word is understanding like what it's really talking about versus how it applies to what God has already put in place. God has already placed certain things in this world, laws that even he goes by. So that's the goodness, like I said, that's the goodness, though, that we get to trust in and recognize and understand that we're overcomers. And it's all on his back. We're in his shadow of his wings. We're under the shadow of his wings. We're under the shadow of his love. It's the very thing that transforms our lives, transforms the people around us lives, and ultimately, like you said, helps us to love properly. You're righteous. You're loved. You're awesome. You're powerful. You have promises. You have goals that God has placed inside of you that will be fulfilled. You're an overcomer. You'll overcome poverty. You're going to overcome death. Because you're going to rise up when it all said and done. You rise up again with Jesus. You overcome sickness. All these things are because of what he overcame. Because he bore all sin, effects of sin, sickness, disease on that cross in his body. And his promise to us is so that we can know that we don't have to be abiding by that sin law. Like I said, you're not under sin any longer. You're under righteousness. And you can't get away from righteousness now. See, the enemy wanted you to think that you could be righteous. See, like I said, he can't create anything on his own. He just has to like take something and reconfigure it and make you think opposite of what God is saying. But like I said, as you grow, as you mature, as we grow, because I'm growing and maturing just like y'all, you understand, like I said, what's God and what ain't. What situation is coming from God and what isn't coming from God? What's an attack? Then you begin to understand and discern situations and people and things. And you know, okay, I don't think I should go that route. Or say you got a business and you're dealing with somebody and they're not a person that you really should be dealing with. He'll tell you, you'll discern. Because the overcomer in you already knows what's the right path. But it's beautiful because, like I said, even when we make the wrong decisions, God bails us out. He gives you a second chance. He's definitely God of second chances. So this is the final thought that I'm going to leave y'all with. I just want you to just think about this. As an overcomer, we understand that it's not our ability to brave the hard situations and circumstances that make that status valid. What looks the most like strength to the world, to us, is simply trusting God in these situations. We understand that we have overcome the lies and the condemnation of the enemy by the same common denominator that brought the situation, that protects us from the situation. It's Christ Jesus and his victory for us. He won at the cross, and we share in that win, applying it to every situation. The fruits of that win at the cross, the fruits of him overcoming death, the fruits of him overcoming sickness and disease and poverty and all those things, is how we apply it to our situations. Meaning, okay, Lord, as you are, so am I in this world. Right now, Jesus is not wanting for anything. He's not sick. He's not tripping. He's not lost in his mind. We can identify with that very thing. We can believe that thing by faith. It's all by faith. And sometimes it don't make sense. That's faith. It's not going to make sense all the time. God may lead you to do something. You're like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And then in the back end, you're going to remember that thing. You're like, oh. It don't be revealed to you right away sometimes. It comes later when you're put in a situation where you see that exact same situation happening again. I've been in that situation many times. Where it's like, for instance, right now, at my job, when I first went into my job, I was working in a call center and learning how to deal with, I learned so much about dealing with different people's mentalities and like just talking to the people on the phone, like how rude people could be, how nice people could be, how to deal with those situations. And that experience took me to even now. When I'm dealing with certain people in my job, it's like I'm learning how to differentiate between if this person is, what's going on with this person. You know, it makes you think about stuff. That's it. And that discernment, like I said, is wisdom. It's love. All of this stuff works. It's like Legos, man. Everything works together to make a grand scheme of things. So like I said, don't get caught up looking at a tree when there's a whole forest. Don't get caught up like, when do I say the golden egg when, you know what I'm saying? When the goose got all the eggs. Jesus. Like I said, the more you get in tune with just focusing on what he's done. Like I said, that's why you go in the word. We're not going in the word to try to get ourselves right. Be right. Take that thought out of your mind. Go in the word because you're learning about what's inside of you already. Mm-hmm. That's good. The righteousness that he's given you is made valid by his word. Amen. So if you go somewhere and they say they're going to validate your parking, you definitely better validate your parking. You're going to be paying like $5 to get out of the parking garage. That happened to me before, man. I was so mad. I was like, hey, let me go back. He's like, and then somebody pulled up behind me, so I was stuck. I had to pay that $5. I was so high. But he's validated your parking, man. You're free. We just gonna pray real quick, man. Okay, done. Father God, I just thank you. Everybody can stand. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here, each and every person that wasn't here, Lord God, but may hear this word online or whatever, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that we truly are free. Lord, I thank you that you made it so easy for us. You've validated us, Lord. You've vindicated us, Lord God. As your word says, you remember no more our sins and our bad deeds. All of that gone. All you see is Jesus. All you see is love. All you see is mercy and grace, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that by your Spirit, Lord God, by your Holy Spirit, Lord,